Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast about news, reviews, shows, flashes, speedsters, everything. Because you know why? Grandma Esther is awesome. That's right. It is Grandma Esther's eggnog-induced Christmas call-in extravaganza, part 4. With me as always, you know him. I love him. I really do, guys. His name is Matthew Bell, and he is here tonight. Bell, how you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing all right. I managed to get infected by one of our other arch-enemies nemesis. This is winter cold.
Oh, ye old winter cold, man. It'll do it. It'll do it to you. But you know the best way to combat the winter cold?
Eggnog.
Eggnog, especially the way Grandma Esther does it. And that is with a little bit extra bourbon. And by a little bit, we mean a lot. Belle, what are you drinking tonight?
Oh, some eggnog, of course.
I got to tell you, after years, literally years of you telling me about these kind of pre-made eggnog mixes, I'm doing it up that way tonight, man. I actually picked up one of these pre-made eggnogs, the brandy, the whiskey, the nog, and it is delicious, my friend. I'm not sure that the serving size is half a bottle, but that's about where I am, so it's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, they're good, right? Then you can always add more brandy to it, you know?
Yeah, this is very true. Now, I got to tell you, Matt, before we get things started and get things kicked off here, we need to educate the people. If this is your first ever Grandma Esther's eggnog-induced Christmas call-in extravaganza or your first ever live Flash TV Talk call-in show, here's how it works. We got a little drinking game we do here, and that is every single time that we lose Belle during the whole call-in process, you take a shot.
And pretty much what's going to happen is we're all going to get hammered because it happens every call, sometimes twice on a call.
Every single time. I mean, just at this point, you just expect it. So have your nog, have your whiskey at the ready if you are of age to partake and enjoy partaking in such things. Now, Belle, also, I want to make mention of the fact that it being the Christmas season, the holiday season, you know, we sent you over a little something in the mail. Did Santa happen to deliver anything for this very special occasion?
Santa did, but he needs to send me more.
Oh, snap. All right, so what'd you get, Bell?
Well, I got some delicious assortment of Christmas cookies here.
Yeah.
And they are quite delicious.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. Yeah, it was great. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to my lovely family, and we were talking about what were we going to do for Bell for Christmas this year. And you know, we were kind of kicking around ideas, and my wife pointed out that every single year for Grandma Esther's, this holiday tradition here in the podcast industry, certainly this little tiny corner of it, you know, we get together, we have fun, we drink nog on air, and I am always enjoying these homemade cookies. My wife thought you could enjoy some as well. So, man, I hope that you are enjoying them. They are made with love and lots of sugar.
And they are delicious.
Excellent, man. All right. So this is a call-in show in the truest sense of the word. And that means that we are going to be relying on you guys heavily tonight. So we want y'all to call in. Here's how you do it. Podastery on Air is the Skype handle that we are currently using. I'm going to put that in the chat right now. All right, so here's the way it's also going to work. We are going to talk about whatever it is you guys want to talk about. If you want to talk about your thinker theories, if you have got an idea of where you think the season is going next season, we want to hear that. If you think that you have figured out exactly how this whole, Speed Force time travel thing works, we want to talk about that. If you want to talk about the DCEU, we'll talk about that. And hey, if you want to talk about, I don't know, pretty much anything, we'll talk about it. You want to talk about eggnog recipes, we'll do that as well. One thing we will not talk about tonight, and I want to be very clear about this, no Star Wars spoilers.
Luke is
No, stop. Stop. Don't see, this is the thing. People make jokes, but like I don't even want the jokes, man. I don't want any spoilers. We are obviously we're recording this episode just a few days before Star Wars goes live. I don't want to know anything. And the internet is like the worst right now.
When are you going to go see it?
I'm going to go see it on Friday at noon. I'm taking a day.
Okay, well, I'm going to go see it Thursday night, so I'll be sure to spoil everything for you.
No, not at all, sir. No, I was talking to Derek Russell of the Starkville podcasts over there, and he was telling me that I should be glad that he is not a millionaire, because otherwise he would buy up billboards on my way to work on the following Friday with Star Wars spoilers. Yeah. Splattered everywhere. So
that's actually a good idea. I should do that.
Yeah, except you don't have money either. This is why it's really good. I don't know anybody with money.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good idea.
I'm telling you, man, it's evil is what it is.
Hey, you guys, can you hear me?
Hey, what's up?
Ladies and gentlemen, he is here. Daniel G in the house. Dan, how you doing tonight, man?
Pretty well. I just got back from the gym, so.
Look at you being healthy as we're sitting here drinking and eating cookies. Good for you, buddy.
Don't worry, I'm going to start any second.
No worries, man. Well, we are halfway through this first season, or this fourth season of The Flash. What are you thinking so far?
I'm enjoying it a hell of a lot more than season three.
Yeah. All right. So I was actually thinking about this earlier. Right now, and I know we like to be positive, but if you had to rank the worst season, does season three kind of fall into that category for you?
I would say so. You know, season one obviously was amazing, hooked everyone into the show. You know, season two, pretty good. Season three was kind of like, you know, kind of suffered the same problems Arrow suffered in its third season, and season four seems to be a return to form.
Yeah, man. Bell, what about you? What would you say is the worst season? What falls on the naughty list for you?
Man, that's difficult, you know, because it's one of those things where I think they changed what they're going to do with the second season of Flash midway through it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was kind of weird a little bit, but, you know, the future Flash thing and the evil Barry thing and, I don't know. It was. Yeah, I'd say that season three is probably the weakest thus far.
So for me, it's definitely season two, and it really, you know, I've talked about it before, but it really is about how Jay Garrick was played on the television series. That just kind of taints things for me overall. I'm not a big fan of the direction that went. And Bell, you're right. They started in one direction. They clearly kind of went in another in the second half there, and it just kind of was what it was. But yeah, so season two was kind of the weakest for me, despite there was a lot of about that season I loved. But yeah, man, this season has been a return to form. We've got a new villain, somebody who is not a speedster. How have you been enjoying The Thinker, Dan?
I think The Thinker is a great villain. He kind of reminds me a lot of actually Prometheus from last season of Arrow, where he keeps everyone guessing. And I mean, that's kind of why we watch these shows, because we want to be entertained and we don't want things to be predictable. And that's exactly what The Thinker is.
Man, speaking of Prometheus, you know, we got a Prometheus of Earth X during the crossover, and Bell and I were a little bit in the dark with how some of the other franchises were introducing the Elseworlds characters, because we haven't been up to date on Arrow and that sort of thing. Are you up to date across the board?
The only show I don't watch anymore is Arrow, actually.
Oh, snap. Okay. When did they lose you? Because you apparently watched last season.
I did watch last season, and I kind of waited until the first episode of season six to start to, you know, kind of hear the feedback. And based on what I heard, this wasn't a direction I was interested in following. And from my understanding, it's continued down the path that season four took, which was actually when I originally stopped the show about halfway through that season.
Yowza. Yeah, I did read an article about the official Arrow Reddit changing, or Reddit, a fan Reddit changing its subreddit into a Punisher feed. Bell, did you hear this?
No, that's hilarious. They like are officially just done.
Yeah, well, so they did this once before with Daredevil. The frustration, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Dan, but I think it was season three that really just did not go in the right direction for Arrow. And
it was season four, actually.
Season four. And so during that season, the subreddit actually changed themselves to a Daredevil subreddit out of just, I guess, blatant frustration with the way things are going. The internet is very torn on Alicity. And so based on where Alicity stands at any given time, it seems portions of the internet is thrilled, and other portions, not so much. Do you think that's a fair assessment, Dan?
It's a very fair assessment. I personally am one of those fans that is not a fan of the Alicity relationship. And it's not so much because of, you know, but there's some people that say, oh, I can't stand the actress or this or that. For me, it's just how it's been handled in terms of writing. You know, the way Felicity is written on Arrow, when she was originally introduced, she was a fun, interesting character. But Oliver was still able to do things on his own. If you remember the pilot, he was able to hack into this guy's bank account with an Arrow that he created and distribute several million dollars back to the people that he had stolen from. Oliver can't seem to tie his own shoes anymore without Felicity helping him.
Oh man, shots fired. Send your emails to Dan G. Yeah. No, but you're exactly right, man. That's that the relationship kind of taken center stage kind of took me out of that series as well. But one of the DC TV properties that I've been most interested in possibly getting back into is Legends, man. They've been killing it on Legends this season, I think. I mean, that's just my perspective from somebody looking on the outside, but what do you think?
Oh, yeah, they've been killing it. You know, it's the thing, they've just embraced how ridiculous the concept is and just gone full bore into it. You know, when the show was first introduced, they were like, you know, they were tied to the Hawks, and, you know, that kind of made the first season kind of rough, but since then, they've realized, hey, we have this misfit group of characters in a time ship that can just screw with history and try to fix things in the worst possible ways. Let's just make that the show.
And yeah, I mean, Legends is definitely the best show on television right now.
They took it to the next level this last past week, having a Furby be a Viking god.
Yes.
Bell, like that. I get it now. I didn't before, but I get it now.
I know, right? It's the best thing on television. It's just so insane, and they just embrace it completely, and it just makes it so much fun. You know, it's like you can't sit there and take a concept like that and treat it seriously and have it come out well. Otherwise, you get season one. But when you just, you know, go nuts with it and just have fun with it, it becomes just a really fun, unique little show.
Absolutely, man. Well, all right. So, Dan, you know, this season, during the course of this season, not only have we enjoyed a really great a half season so far of Flash, we were also given the long anticipated Justice League movie. A lot of different thoughts on how that movie landed. But what about you, man? Any takes on the Justice League film?
You know, I went into it not expecting much, and I just had a fun time with it. You know, it's kind of like I'd say quality wise, it's like around the same levels like Independence Day. You know, it's just a fun blockbuster. It's not, you know, deep. You're not gonna really want to, you know, invest too much time in it afterwards, but while you're watching it, you can find enjoyment in it.
That's good, man. That's a very, very charitable diplomatic answer right there. It's funny, I've asked different people, like, hey, come on the show, talk to us about you know, about the DCEU, and it's hard to find people that really just are digging it. And even those that are seem to be doing so behind closed doors. They don't necessarily want to go out for fear of being ostracized, which is not good, man. If you like something, like it, enjoy it. It's a fun era of comic book, movie, TVs, and just other media in general. And I think that this year in particular has been a lot of fun. You know, we've got outside of the DC realm, we've got this upcoming Infinity War over at Marvel. Man, Dan, any thoughts on Infinity War?
I'm just going to take the same approach I take with every one of these movies and just, you know, try to avoid as much as I can, which I'll inevitably spoil anyways. You know, just go in expecting a good time and nothing more. And usually I'm not disappointed with them. I did actually want to discuss one thing about season four.
Yeah. So,
it is Ralph Dibny, the Elongated Man.
Okay. All right.
Which I know is a point of contention for you.
No.
No. I understand why, because, you know, he's you know, the way we're introduced to him, he's very much you know, a misogynist and kind of a shady guy. And, you know, for fans that have followed the character for a long time, they're like, this is not Ralph Dibny that I know from the comics. Mm-hmm. And that's a fair point. The only counter I would say to that is that when we first met Ralph Dibny in the comics, we had one appearance with him where he was single and he was kind of Barry's rival. And then the very next issue off panel, he was married. And so this entire time for his publication history, he's been a married man that, you know, he's been devout to his wife the entire time. But he's also, you know, and if you read some Ralph Dibny stories, he does have a streak of, you know, being a little, you know, he wants to be famous. He wants to be well known. He seeks attention all the time. So I can see where the show is going, where, you know, he's this down on this luck down on his luck guy. And he's, you know, coming out of that. You know, we saw that in the last episode where he's saying, you know, I don't really know how to have friends. It's been a long time since I've had friends. And I think we're going to see him start to evolve into that Ralph Dibny that we all know and love. And the writers have said that they're planning on bringing Sue in. And so I expect we'll see that fully formed relationship either end of this season or into next season. And that's something I'm really looking forward to.
So that's really good. And I've, you know, I like that commentary, man. I think that's really good, Dan. I follow where you're going with the character. Here's my only thing with all of that is that I still am not quite sure what, like, you know, what his impact is. Like, it's almost like he's coming on and telling, kind of leeching off the Flash to tell his story. But then does he go on to Legends of Tomorrow? Or are we to assume that he's going to be an ongoing member of Team Flash? Or where do you think he's going to go after this season?
I think for the time being, he's going to be a member of Team Flash. You know, he was actually a frequent, I guess you could say, partner of the Flash in the early comics. You know, he was introduced in Flash 112. And for those that aren't aware, the first Barry Allen series actually started with Flash 105, continuing the Jay Garrick numbering. So he was there from very early on in Barry's run, and he continued to make guest appearances through, you know, through the 60s and 70s, you know, as, you know, a frequent collaborator of the Flash. So I can see him being a part of Team Flash going forward and, you know, kind of being a boots on the ground member trying to, you know, solve mysteries for them. Where, you know, where Barry happens to be tied up, or Cisco can't, you know, Deus Ex Machina his way out of things. You know, I can see Ralph being, you know, this, you know, ace in the hole that they have going forward.
All right. Fair enough. So kind of having him as a little bit of another hero added to the toolkit. I definitely understand that.
I could eventually see them, you know, just, you know, kind of having him, you know, eventually just written off the show as, you know, I'm just going to go off and be my own man.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's fine.
So, all right. So I compare it to Smallville. You know, for me, that's kind of, I mean, it's the gold standard in the sense that it in my mindset kicked off the modern era, or at least the pre-modern era. It was the golden age to the current silver age of DC, TV. But on Smallville, when you had a character, a comic book heroic character come in for a partial season, if not a full season, it meant something to a lot of the different characters. I'm thinking specifically of Oliver Queen as the Green Arrow, coming on Smallville. He was there. He impacted a lot of different characters. He was really pushing Clark to be a hero. Like he was there to advance almost everybody's story, as opposed to when they introduce somebody like, let's say, Cyborg, who was there for one episode to basically be that toolkit, add a hero into this universe, showcase him, have Clark learn a little bit from him, but at the exact same time, have him kind of interact with Cyborg as well. Just a fun, quick team up, and then it's done, but you still have Cyborg to pull back in later episodes. So this, for me anyway, has felt like taking that approach, but then stretching it out over an entire season. And so
no
that,
pun intended, right?
Yeah, there's no way to get around these puns, is there? it's Captain Cold all over again. But anyway, all that to say, man, yeah, I'm glad that's a really good perspective, especially on Bachelor Ralph, and the fact that even though we did not see much of him in the comics, that does not mean that it's not based out of the comics, because clearly that was very similar to his original interpretation. So thanks, buddy. Any other kind of final thoughts you got before we let you go here?
No, just looking forward to the rest of season 4, and you guys don't drink responsibly for the rest of the show.
Hey man, it's always good to have a little nog on air, as long as we don't drive, right? That's what we got to do.
Nothing helps a sore throat better than bourbon.
And nog?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. I mean, it's, you know, it's all mixed together.
All right. Dan, man, have a good night and happy holidays to you, brother.
And to you guys.
See you, Dan.
Dan Sherry. We went from Dan G to Dan S on the line with us right now.
Gentlemen, what's up?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, there we go. It worked.
Man, we got the Daniels of Two Earths tonight, man. This is great. Right. How's it going, brother?
Very good. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. Pretty good. So we've been enjoying a little bit of the nog. Are you partaking this evening?
No nog, but you know, I've had a little bit of bourbon and now switching over to beer.
Always a good decision. Man, all right, so we are midway through the season 4 of The Flash. What are you thinking, Dan?
I gotta say, I'm really enjoying the season. And I'm a big fan of Ralph Dibny, unlike you guys. But
hey, I like Ralph.
Yeah, I was about to say, Bell's the Ralph fan. I am the one that has been bashing Ralph. But so y'all, you know, this is it. This is exactly why we turn over the mics to you guys, so that y'all can tell me what I'm doing wrong. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm enjoying him. He brings a different flavor to the show, so it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that fun has been the name of the game this season. There has been a bit more wackiness, a little bit more, comedic elements overall. Has this tone, I mean, do you feel like it's an improvement of what's come before or par for the course? What do you think?
Going par for the course. You know, I don't think the show slipped at all, but I also, you know, it hasn't gotten leaps and bounds better. It's, you know, very steady on... And unlike Arrow, which really started to drop down by season 4, but this one I think is staying very steady, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, man. Well, all right. So we've got this non-speedster villain of the Thinker. Now, were you familiar with this character from the comics prior to watching him on this season of The Flash?
Somewhat. Not. I mean, not a whole lot. There's a couple storylines where I read that he was in. Not too many. So, but you know, I also have Google, so right, able to learn about him a little bit. But
yeah Wikipedia is the geek's best friend. Never yes. Leave for the comic book shop without it. All right, well, yeah. So what are you thinking about this character, though? Has he been a significant threat to Flash, or what do you think he's really bringing to the table?
It's been a lot more significant than I even thought he could be. You know, the fact that he's got them beat at every step is, you know, getting a bit worrisome for the team. It seems to be nothing they can do is, you know, hasn't been thought of by him. So it's going to, you know, take some interesting maneuvering for them to actually beat this guy. So it should be fun to watch.
What do you want to talk about tonight? We want to make sure we're turning the mics to you guys.
All right. Well, actually, there's a couple things.
Hit me.
All right. One, like I hate being the, you know, actually guy, but...
Oh, here it comes.
DeVoe's wife, you guys keep calling her the engineer. She's actually the mechanic.
Is not a mechanic an engineer?
Well, I mean, yes.
But, I mean, names are important. Yeah, names still. Have meaning.
All right, exactly. Hang on.
So yeah, her name's the mechanic, so...
So right. did we read that wrong? Because I recall seeing that in a... in a summary somewhere, maybe. So maybe that's how I got off on the wrong note. Well, but so it's the mechanic.
Then. Yeah, at least on, you know, like in the credits on IMDb and whatnot.
Interesting. Is the mechanic
the mechanic?
Was she a comic book character prior to the show?
That I'm not sure of.
Interesting.
Except I didn't.
All right. So let me get this right. I'm gonna put it in my show notes. No, this is good.
Should we drink? I think Bo, I think you and I should drink. I mean, that's
this would be the time. Yeah. I just downed the end of my eggnog glass right there after that. You are the official Dan Sherry, now officially the red shirt guy of Flash TV Talk. For anyone
I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. So mechanic, I'm making a note. It's always good to leave messages to yourself after you've been drinking.
Sure. It's the only way to do it.
And that way sober you can, like, you know, kind of get an idea of what you were doing.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. You said you got a couple of things. So correct us on. Let's keep going, man. What else you got for us?
All right. The next one isn't on you guys. It's just something that's been bugging me for a couple of weeks now. The episode where the little girl gets hurt with Ralph and Barry are out fighting. Ralph and Barry go to the hospital to see this girl. Yet, didn't anyone ask why this random private investigator and CSI are interested in this injured little girl?
Yeah,
I mean, the scene where she got hurt were the two superheroes. Now these two random guys are showing up.
Man. And on top of that, the doctor's actually sharing, like, information with them.
Yeah.
Like, that's a HIPAA violation. Yeah, no, I thought that was kind of weird.
I'm just going to let you guys keep talking over each other. This is hilarious.
Sorry.
All right, Bell, no. Bell, you go.
Okay, fine. I will go. I thought that was kind of interesting as well. It's just this, you know, it seems to me like every season Barry gets looser and looser about his secret identity.
I'm the Flash. Like,
yeah, well, like not only getting drunk and stuff like that, but the most recent metahuman that they helped, you know, they like invite him over for Christmas, and Barry's just like, oh yeah, by the way, you know, I'm gonna go zoom around and do flashy stuff.
Yeah, Brainstorm, aka actually DeVoe, aka Get Out.
Yeah, no, that was a good observation there.
I'm telling you, man. All right, so that's good. The doctors in Central City don't know what they're doing, or at least they clearly don't have any kind of guidelines for not sharing doctor patient information. All right, Dan, you're on a roll, man. What you got for us, Sherry?
All right. The last one's actually kind of more praise. I got to say, that Crisis episode was excellent. Well, all four episodes are great, but the end, the way they showed the difference between Barry and Oliver, I thought was beautiful. The fact that Barry let his greatest nemesis run off and Oliver murders his cold blood.
Man, great observation. Yeah.
Well, it was technically defense for Oliver, I think, right? Because, you know, he was looking at him and he was like, all right, you know, what are you going to do? And then he, Dark Archer made a move and that's when he killed him.
Right. True. But I mean, again, I think just the way they showed how different the two are, even the fact that Oliver's biggest nemesis was himself. And Barry's was, you know, the Reverse Flash.
I liked it. I was actually even thinking about that. You know, the fact that all of our, you know, kind of our quote big three of the DC TV universe, when faced with their direct opposites, it's an evil Oliver, it's an evil Kara, and I had even speculated going into this that perhaps we'd actually get like more of a brainy or a Bizarro Kara as opposed to actually her Earth-X counterpart. But to actually have Barry nowhere in sight was kind of interesting to me. And, you know, I thought about the fact that, you know, like you said, that you know, maybe there's something about Barry that's too good to see evilly, or maybe it's the fact that we've already gotten evil Barry. Why do you think it was that we got Eobard as opposed to Barry Allen?
My only thought is they want to, you know, just keep Barry to be that, like, pure good. And not even show us what an evil Barry would look like
again. Well, no, I guess, I guess the thing is though, that evil Barry from season 3, Savitar Barry, was like traumatized Barry, not, you know, Nazi Barry.
Exactly.
That's a fair point. That's definitely a fair point. Well, good stuff, man. Well, overall, man, what are you hoping to see as we enter into the next half of the season?
I'm just looking forward to seeing how they end up outsmarting the Thinker. Because, I mean, really, that's going to be the only way to beat him is to outsmart him. How they go about that's going to be interesting.
Absolutely. Well, good deal, Dan. Well, thanks so much for calling in. Any final thoughts before we let you go tonight?
No, that's all, guys. I love your show. Keep it up, and I'll keep listening.
All right, appreciate you, brother.
Cool.
Have a good one. Happy holidays to you. Man, Sherry taking us to task.
That's true.
To be fair, you know, someone should. That's good.
Yeah, right. We got to be held accountable by somebody. It's not like we're above the law.
I like this.
The nerd law.
I like that we have our very own red shirt guy now. If we were a video game, we would put Sherry in the podcast, Dan in the podcast. We got two Dans right back to back tonight. Do we have any other Dans in the chat tonight?
Yeah, if there's a third Dan, that when it makes this like a Dan trifecta, that'd be pretty cool.
This would definitely be the time to do it. Now, man, this season overall for you and I has been really interesting. I mean, we've had a lot of fun. We've been able to talk a lot of Flash together, but it's also been a little bit of an adjustment from seasons past. You have been going through some things.
Yes.
You know, as a result, it's caused us to, you know, record things later or earlier, as the case may be.
This is true.
And you know, I just want you to know, first of all, that I. You know, I love you. I respect you. You know, you're a friend. You're a brother. But I got to tell you, man, over this season, I've got some grievances.
Oh, do you need to air them?
I do need to air some grievances, man. I mean, I know, of course, 'tis the season. It is Christmas. It is Hanukkah. It is Kwanzaa. It is the multiple holidays that are going on right now. But it is also a very important holiday as well that is oftentimes overlooked, at least since the 90s, and that is Festivus.
It's the Festivus for the rest of us.
It is the Festivus for the rest of us. And to that, my friend, I say it is time to air some grievances.
A Festivus for the rest of us!
And you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
This guy. I'm sitting here 14 minutes late and you still don't have anything ready to go. Oh.
Don't you dare! You don't.
Hashtag professionalism.
Hashtag you mother. Hashtagger, dude. Come on now. We need to
I'll
air.
Have you know I need my to, food's still getting cold, so
I need
good.
To air out some grievances. Good. I want it to be ice. I want it. I want it to be ice cold. I want you to have drastic world levels of enjoyment with your food.
So basically, you want me to kill myself.
And that is what I am. Not. I mean, that's too harsh. No, man. It's the holidays.
Well, that's what that movie wants me to do.
No, it doesn't. I'm excited for the sequel.
Strengthen the security of your Google account in 2 minutes.
No! You are. This is a show. No. We are professionals. This is ridiculous. All right, first of all, we need to have a conversation about commitment. Now, first of all, I don't know what her name is. I don't want to know what her name is right now. All right? I'm not going through your phone. I don't care who it is you spend your time with and everything else. I'm saying I was here first. I was there washing behind your ears and carrying you and driving you to the place and spending my money on you. And then she comes along. And then all of a sudden, nobody can get a hold of Belle because he's all fraternizing, which is not a word, by the way, with his girlfriend.
Lady friend.
Hashtag feminism.
I sense a bit of jealousy there.
I am. Yes. That is accurate. And how dare you? How dare you?
You should.
You look at yourself in the mirror every day and you don't shave. Everyone knows it. But you look at yourself anyway. And you think to yourself like, yeah. Yeah, you see this guy right here? Everybody wants a piece. And you know what? It doesn't matter that Bo's been there for years. That he's been there since back in the freaking junior high days. Back in the late 90s.
The Cretaceous period.
Where it was Saturday night. It was you. It was me. It was other guys. And occasionally, if we were lucky, we'd have like one or two ladies that were willing to hang out with us. But for the most part, it was us dudes.
Those days are behind us, Bo.
You're
like up to your eyeballs.
I am way past that.
It's a Festivus miracle.
David Sobolov, the voice of Gorilla Grodd on The Flash, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk.
I am Grodd.
Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe it. Like, I literally cannot believe this at all. Some of you may know this. My name is Bo, but I also go by the name Frank. This is the other one. This is Frank Emmanuel.
How's it going?
How's it going, brother? Look, it's been some time. I appreciate you jumping on. Of course, Frank over from Supergirl TV Talk joined Belle a couple episodes back to cover for me as I was in the NYC. But man, yeah, how you doing, man? It's been quite a season.
It has been quite a season, hasn't it? It's been a really, really exciting season. I think the best in a couple of years, personally.
Yeah. Oh man, for sure. I know, especially with Flash, Supergirl, man. So honestly, it was you guys' podcast, Supergirl TV Talk, that got me to go back and binge listen, or rather binge watch the first season. And I'm about midway through the second at the moment. I was wanting to get caught up by the time the crossover came. Fortunately, I don't think I had to know too much other than who, you know, the characters were and such. I'd already gotten the reveal of Jimmy Olsen as Guardian and that sort of thing. But overall, man, this crossover event that we had, what was your thoughts?
This was my favorite crossover yet. I mean, I heard your episode covering the two nights, and I totally agree with your assessment that they finally did what they should have done, you know, last year, and really make it an all out like movie style, like no holds barred. It was sort of its own entity, you know. It had its own credit sequence and even the second night they didn't say previously on The Flash or anything like that. They said previously on Crisis on Earth X. Like it was like its own mini series event.
Yeah.
And I really think that's the way it should be.
Now with the first episode being kind of a Supergirl episode, did you find it jarring at all that it was so very Flash heavy or you know, from the sounds of things, you like the fact that it kind of flowed all throughout?
I really did like the way they did that. Yeah. No, it didn't bother me at all because I knew that there would be plenty of Kara throughout and plenty of the Supergirl characters throughout because they were so, I mean, Alex alone, right, was so woven into the entire story. So it didn't bother me at all because I knew it all get sort of, you know, distributed evenly at the end of the day. And, yeah. And it was, and they killed it.
Alex Danvers, where did she come from, man? Like,
right?
Yeah. Look, I
up
knew
there with the best of them.
Like, that's the thing. She was like rolling around like she was a superhero. And I mean, like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that is a character made up for the show, right? Did she exist in the comics?
No, not to my knowledge. That is an original character for the show, as far as I know, in any stories that I've read. And she completely killed it. I mean, she was up there with Sarah Lance, you know, as like a, yeah, I may not have powers, but like, here I am and I can fight. I can do this. I'm still a hero. And thought that was absolutely the right take on her. And it's sort of like everything we've seen of her has led to this moment. And I really enjoyed the hell out of the story, the interplay between her and Sarah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because if I'm not mistaken, when they did the big, group call, you know, everybody get a group in because they got the Skype lines open. So they want to make sure we all fit in. The only two non comic book characters in that shot, were Harrison Wells and of course Alex Danvers. Is there anybody else that you can think of that was really kind of, I don't want to say shoehorned in because that's not correct, but somebody that was other characters that were originally created by the TV series rather than the comics?
No, I can't think of anybody else who was there. No, I mean, these shows in this universe do a really good job with these sort of original characters, like the Felicities and the Alexes and things like that. I love the way that they make these characters that really rise to this level that they become, they feel like sooner or later they will become part of continuity and part of canon because they are such rich characters who add so much to the environment that they're in. It's me. Alex is just another example, I think, of another one of those great characters that this group keeps introducing, and they become really interwoven with like the main hero themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Felicity, if I'm not mistaken, was kind of a deep cut comic book character from like the Firestorm series.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. The way they took her character is so very different from, you know, sure, the source material that she might as well be a completely new character. But
sure. I mean, similar things can be said of Cisco as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
They've gone so far, but still fantastic. I mean, I love Cisco and I love Felicity for that matter.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Well, hey, man. So it's Grandma Esther's. Are you enjoying a little bit of the nog tonight?
Sure am over here. Having a good old cup of the nog, and it's good to be talking with you about this stuff, Bob.
Absolutely, man. Well, this being, of course, Flash TV Talk, and you being all up to date on everything Flash, tell me what you're thinking about DeVoe. Where are we heading with this character as we kind of look ahead to the next half of the season?
Belle Biv DeVoe. That is, I think that's where we're headed. I think the only possible outcome is for there to be a Belle Biv DeVoe world tour, get the band back together. I think that's where it's going. I mean, it's obvious to me.
Would he be on keytar, or what are you seeing for him?
Yeah, definitely on keytar. Now, I am so the Thinker is not a character that I'm super familiar with, actually. So I have been really enjoying this season because I know the name, but that's my only exposure. So I kind of feel like for the first, pretty much the first time, in this show anyway, that, I don't have super strong theories. Like I get to almost watch it. Like I've always watched these shows as a comic book fan, and this is the first time that it feels like I'm sort of watching, you know, as a more casual fan or as somebody who, you know, just discovered the shows and is watching it through the shows and doesn't have the comic book background. So I don't have any super strong theories. I get to sort of just watch it with everybody else and enjoy it. And that's great because I think right now Flash is probably my favorite of the bunch, the most enjoyable of the bunch. So I get to just sort of sit there and, you know, and watch it and really, really enjoy it. Not to say I don't love Supergirl, obviously I do the show about it, but I think this season, the Flash is the strongest season right now.
Yeah, man. Actually, it's kind of interesting. So I don't know if you heard this, but Jon Stewart, formerly of The Daily Show, not the Green Lantern, was actually he was on Howard Stern a while back, and they were talking about TV, and he was saying, and Jon Stewart was saying that he loved watching the superhero shows with his kids, and he was just geeking out on Flash hard, and then he started talking about Supergirl. He's like, I love Supergirl, but then they really dived into the relationships, like the relationships kind of became like at the forefront. Now I'm not up to date, but has it gotten CW cranked up to 11 over there a little bit too much, or what is the status?
That's an interesting way of asking the question. I think it is. Yes, it definitely is ramped up for sure. They especially the stuff with Maggie and Alex and what went down there. I'm not sure if you're planning on catching up, so I don't want to spoil you if you haven't gotten there yet. But suffice to say that, you know, it's pretty clear, I think, from watching the crossover that they're no longer together. And that, I think, created a lot of fan conversation, as well as what's going on with Kara and Mon-El. So there's a few relationships and a couple of, or at least one that's sort of a burgeoning relationship that's new this season. And so I think that we have ramped it up a little bit. I wouldn't mind if they ramped it, you know, turned it down a little bit. I am obviously here mainly for the comic book side of things. And so the relationships are interesting to me. I mean, they are interesting in the sense that they, you know, they come from the comics in a lot of cases, or they exist in the comics. So I'm used to some level of that, but it has reached a bit of an all time high. Fans, are split on what they feel about that. You know, there are some folks that are mainly there for those relationships.
Oh, sure.
I think those are more from the CW side of the fandom than the sort of DC side of the fandom, but still, nonetheless, there are people who love this show, and want to see those characters get together and see what happens to them. So, I think that the way that they handled the Maggie and Alex breakup was pretty tasteful and pretty realistic. And I hope that if the others have to come to an end, that they'll treat them with the same treatment, the same dignity, and that they are done in a way that feels like it does service to the characters and service to the show, but still satisfies the fans who want to see these characters together.
That's good, man. Yeah, I mean, there is a balance that you have to hit. Like it's hard to figure out exactly where that temperature is, so to speak. I remember, you know, back in the day with Smallville, being surprised just how much I got into the Lois and Clark relationship. I mean, I was pulling for them and everything, because, you know, they're destined to be together and everything else. But by the time you got to the final season, there was like a lot of like really kind of strong, kind of true romance between those characters. And I got into it, man. By the time we got to the wedding at the end, I was like, man, I'm here for this. I'm shocked that I'm here for this. I thought I'd be more here for the dark side, but now I'm actually more here for this wedding. And, and so it's amazing how that could do that to you. Same thing with, Barry and Iris. I've always been, you know, invested into their relationship. I think it's been done right and well. But at the same time, you've got the danger of going full on Alicity. And I know a lot of people are like hardcore Alicity fans, but I mean, you know, that relationship became the dominant story of the series, and they were trying to even push into being the dominant story of the crossover here, with it being Barry and Iris's reception, yet they're getting engaged at that. And then they're, oh, we're going to get married. And then all of a sudden Felicity's like, oh, we're going to get married too. I mean, come on, man. That was ridiculous.
Way to steal their thunder, right?
Twice. You can't steal thunder from the Flash. That's just wrong.
I didn't think that was even possible.
Well, hey, man, let me just hit you with this one last question related to the crossover episode. So was that Don Allen?
Oh, yes. I did hear your discussion about this as well. I'm leaning towards yes. I'm leaning towards yes. I think the way that she looked at him, the way that she was, the sort of sincerity that was there. I think she is. And did you recognize that actress? Cause she was on Smallville as well.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, that was Plastique.
No, seriously?
Yeah. Jessica Parker Kennedy is her name. And yeah, she was in Smallville and now here. So it's funny. She, you know,
that was like 10 years ago. How does she look 10 years younger? That's crazy.
I know, right? I know. She has not aged. Good for her. But Yeah, I you know, you were talking about your like Crisis on Infinite Earths wish, you know, that they would do something where you see like the Smallville universe crossing over with this. It's like there's a few Smallville doppelgangers in this universe
that's
now.
Okay.
So it'd be kind of funny, right?
Like, man, that's fine. We can make that happen. I mean, think about
it. I like it.
If they go full on, man, we got a Superman out there that looks an awful lot like Adam. So you know,
right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know,
it can happen. It can definitely happen.
It can happen.
Well, Frank, man, thanks so much for calling in and joining us on this epic Grandma Esther's eggnog induced Christmas call-in extravaganza. How can people keep up with you and everything that you're doing?
Oh, they can find us over at thoughtbubbleaudio.com or supergirltvtalk.com. That's where they can find all our talk about these shows. Thanks so much for letting me call in. Thanks for sharing the eggnog with me. It's always a pleasure.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Man, I swear. Keep getting disconnected.
Bell.
Hello? Hello?
Hey!
Hello? Oh, hey!
There you are.
Yeah, here I am.
Dude, you missed Frank.
I know. Well, you made me miss Frank. Thanks a lot.
That is not correct. You're nog.
Well, I should have gone to go. I sat here and just listened to it through Mixer because I wanted to hear what he had to say. Because, and that's kind of funny because I didn't know that Jon Stewart watched the CW shows.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Actually, I pulled this clip. Hang on. Let me pull it up real quick because I pulled this clip like 2 weeks ago. Two or three weeks ago when he was on Stern promoting, and I don't listen to Stern, but it was also during the whole Louis C.K. thing, and so I was listening to kind of some of the comedians' interviews about it. And so he had gone on, it was all happening at the same time that he was doing The Night of Too Many Stars. Here it is. All right, so Daily Show Jon Stewart. All right, so here's what we got.
Yeah, but again.
But not every night.
You don't watch every night.
No, I don't watch. You know what I watch is the superhero shows with the kids.
Yeah, which ones are you watching? I watch every one of them.
The Gifted, Flash was our favorite, and that's still good.
It's okay now.
Yeah.
Gotham is very good.
No, I haven't seen Gotham.
Oh, that's...
We Are Flash.
I watch that.
Gotham might be a little Gifted is a good one.
Gifted, I just started. Supergirl, are you watching?
I watched it for a while.
You lost
it. And now I feel like... Oh, we're going to really talk a lot about relationships, aren't we?
Yeah,
like it's a lot of relationship stuff.
You want to see her be Supergirl.
You know what I had real high hopes for?
What?
Is Marvel Inhumans.
I watched the whole season. I didn't think it was great, but I stuck with it.
It was not good.
It was terrible. Because who wants to watch superheroes who don't use their powers?
They don't use their powers.
All right. There you go. So Jon Stewart, formerly of The Daily Show, big Flash fan.
That's pretty neat. Like I, you know, but then again, you know, you got kids. That's a good show to watch with your kids. I think it's not too, you know, heavy, and you know, it's just fun. It's all around fun.
Yeah, a lot of good themes. You don't have you know, Barry often dudes at the end of the crossover,
right?
But yeah. You know, actually, I was mentioning in the chat earlier about the Tornado Twins. I asked Frank about it as well. So Dawn, man, you know, do you think that actually we'll see Dawn and Dawn? Dawn, it always sounds weird saying that out loud, but do you think we will in fact see both twins? Do you think the more diapers is a reference to that?
See, I don't know, because I was thinking if they're going to have like somebody come back from the future, it would have been Bart, just because he's done that before.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, it's true.
Maybe they're changing it. Maybe they're just going to do, you know, Tornado Twins instead of Bart coming back. So, I mean, it could be, very well could be.
Could be as well. All right. So, all right, hey, by the way, real quick. So, I want to make mention of this. We got Will of the, you know, Will.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm familiar with him.
Yeah. You've spent some time with Will.
Oh, just a couple minutes here and there.
Y'all talk some things from time to time. Yeah. Will, if you want to jump on and talk some Legends, might as well keep the DC TV talk love coming. If you're up for it, buddy. But yeah, no, I think that's definitely what it is. I also love, by the way, that we're continuing on this House is Bitching. You know what I mean? Like that every single, almost every single episode, somebody's trying to make somebody say it so they can figure out what that means without it being like this. You know, you're not beat over the head with it. They don't have the, it's not written up on Cisco's wall, or at least I don't think it's still written up on Cisco's wall, but it just keeps coming up. And I love that, man.
It's a great bit, and I'm hoping it's going to like come back, and you know, it's going to be pivotal to how they defeat DeVoe is the house being bitching. Like, it would be amazing.
Who's going to say it, though? That's the thing, because obviously it's not Cisco. It sounds a little Cisco, but Cisco knows, so he wouldn't be the one that says it.
It's going to be Barry, like, you know, DeVoe's going to be like, how this house was designed to something. And then, you know, Barry's going to be like, no, this house is bitching. And then, like, you know, defeats him.
I still say it just does not sound like Barry, but it does sound like Bart. And if we've got Tornado Trent twins, if perhaps we do have, young descendants popping up from the future, I think there could be something there. There could be something there.
What about Wally?
So that's a good point. Wally hasn't been present for the quote, has he?
I don't think so.
I can't recall. He's off defeating Starro and ending Blackest Night and, you know, saving the multiverse.
Yeah, right. He's too busy fighting the real threats.
He's got some stuff. Well, hey, it looks like we're about to call up Will Benson, of course, of Legends TV Talk. I'll be sure while I'm getting him added to the Skype lines here, as we're talking about kids and descendants, you know, last year during Grandma Esther's eggnog induced Christmas call and extravaganza, we introduced something a little bit new. We had the first part of Kid Flash TV Talk with my eldest child. Well, I got more than one too. In fact, I got a youngest child as well. And so this year we're presenting you Kid Flash TV Talk Part 2. We'll be right back after this. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is your favorite superhero?
Batman.
Batman's your favorite superhero?
Yeah.
And does Batman have any friends?
Yeah.
Who are his friends?
Supergirl.
Supergirl is his friend?
Yeah.
Who else? Is he friends with the Flash?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what does the Flash do? What's the Flash superpower?
Fly.
No, he does something else. What does he do?
He moves.
He moves. That's right. He moves really fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're really fast, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And what colors do the Flash wear?
Blue.
No, he wears red.
Red.
What else does he wear?
Podcast.
He wears podcast?
Yeah.
What do you want for Christmas?
A microphone.
A microphone? Are you going to be a podcaster?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you wish everybody happy holidays?
Yeah. Happy holidays from TV Talk.
Oh, you got to love the Kid Flash TV Talk, man.
Got to love the kids and their innocence.
I got to tell
you. Flash doesn't wear blue.
I'm working. Hey, she's only two. You know.
Well, okay, you know what? I'll give her this, though. If the Flash is running sufficiently fast, then it would blue shift.
Yeah.
You know, if the Flash is running towards you, then the red would shift towards the blue spectrum of light. And so it would look blue.
I actually thought about while I was interviewing her, explaining to her that actually with the blue lantern ring, he does wear a blue suit, but it was a little, I thought it might've been a little over her head.
Yeah. Going into a little too deep there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Kid Flash TV Talk Part 2. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I know I certainly did. And a little something from our family, from our Flash family to yours. Here he comes. Mr. Will Benson, ladies and gentlemen, joining us now from Legends TV Talk, Bell's co-host, or perhaps Bell is his co-host, Will Benson. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Man,
what's
always
up, Will? How you doing, man?
Not bad. Not bad at all. How about yourselves?
Doing good.
Oh, you
man.
Know, just suffering from the plague. It's all good.
Hey, but you're alive, dude. We kept you in. Nobody drinks. I always ruin the party.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been kind of drinking, not necessarily in secret, but a lot. so there's that.
Man, all right, so this is what I love. Whenever two or more are gathered of the Legends TV Talk crew, I know that it's no longer my show. Like, I sit back after this point. So, but no, all right, so Bell has been trying to get me on board with Legends for quite some time. I was blown away this last past week. But when would you say, Will, that Legends of Tomorrow really started embracing the craziness?
Oh, about a week from tomorrow. No, I would have to say season two. Like, I think season one, they tried to make it too much flashy. They tried to make it an amalgamation of Green Arrow and Flash, and it's just not that type of show. So I think in season two, they found their way, and they realized that they, you know, there's the voice of the not as quite as campy, but almost as campy as 1966 Batman. So they went that way.
That's the tone. That's the bar.
Yeah. So as long as they don't hit that bar, As long as we don't have Cesar Romero showing up with Joker makeup over his white mustache,
oh my gosh,
then we'll be okay.
That'd be amazing. I would be so for that. All right, so Belle, I haven't shared this with you, but I came up with a concept for a Legends of Tomorrow episode I'd like to pitch to you guys.
Oh boy, okay. Here we go. This is going to be insulting.
So no. This is going to be great. I'm talking about a holiday themed episode. Because you know how, like, what was it? Christmas Carol. Like, the Ghost of Christmas Future, the Ghost of Christmas Past. Do something like that, but have it so that it's tied to maybe Wally. Because, you know, Wally's out there, and I know he's popped up on Legends from you know, one cameo or another. But maybe they have to go and, like, convince Wally that you know, he's awesome or something like that. Well, all right. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But here's really what I want to happen, regardless of the method in which you make it happen. I want the Legends of Tomorrow to go back two generations to when Grandma Esther was just Esther West. I think it would be awesome to have Esther West. Maybe, like, she's like this, like, hardcore, like, civil rights activist and everything else. Like, you know, and while she's, like, also, like, a hard drinking, like, always drinking the bourbon and everything else. Maybe she's like a spy or something. But I think Legends of Tomorrow can introduce a young Grandma Esther who is, like, you know, chain smoking, drinking bourbon. Like, I want to see this happen.
So no, then my question is, why wouldn't this be on Flash?
Okay, because I feel like Grandma Esther has become something of a joke, right? Like when you're talking Esther, you're talking eggnog, and so it's synonymous. So I feel like if they were to explore that character, it would almost be too goofy, which means that we're pushing into Legends territory.
So yeah, she's like a CIA operative, like that's what I'm sure. thinking. And every single the Legends are all, like, trapped in some sort of, you know, maybe it's like in Colombia or something like that during, you know, one of the CIA operations gone bad, and she comes to save them. And, like, all of her puns that she cracks, like, while saving them, has to do with eggs.
Wow. No. I'm not saying
say puns, cracks, and eggs.
Maybe I did.
That's Will. You are well suited for Legends of Tomorrow. well played, sir. But no, I'm serious though. No, like, you could take her in something of a serious route. I'm just saying that because she, you know, she has been somewhat of a punchline over on Flash, it may not make sense to make her a serious character on Flash, but maybe do something kind of cool and serious with her. And then when you introduce her on Legends, if she's like this BA legend herself, you could possibly even have Flash popping up as well. I would love to see it. I would absolutely love to see it. So I'm just throwing it out there. Because everybody says Grandma, and she's not Iris and Barry's grandma. She's actually Joe's grandma. So she's
right.
Their great grandmother. So anyway,
granny.
The math is out there. That's it. I just wanted to pitch that to you guys and see what y'all thought about that.
I'm gonna throw it to the writers' room, and we'll see what they do with it. I mean, with Kreisberg gone, I mean, they're gonna take anything at this point.
Oh snap! So. Yeah,
you know,
go ahead, Belle.
Speaking of Kreisberg, it's kind of funny how we were talking about Ralph earlier with Dan, and I kind of get the picture that, like, Ralph is sort of a surrogate, maybe, for Kreisberg, and he's gonna, like, redeem, like, Ralph's gonna redeem himself over the season,
or maybe he's kind of like a.
Or maybe what?
Or maybe he was supposed to.
Or maybe he was supposed to. Yeah, you know, as kind of like, you know, I'm not a terrible person, but it's like, dude, come on.
Well, I think with Ralph, I think Ralph's an interesting character. I mean, I'm an Ellen Gaterman fan from way back. I mean, you know, Justice League Detroit days. I kind of want to see the Ralph I know. And yet I also remember he was kind of a joke and kind of like this kind of guy, only not as lecherous, until he met Sue. And I think I think I've said this on Legends. I think that's where they're going to go. They've got to cast Sue Dibney at some point. And I think she's going to bring him out of this. And then I'd love to see the two of them shuttle to Legends. That would be ideal.
Yeah. Dan actually earlier this episode mentioned that as well. And all right. So you do think that perhaps Ralph has a future on Legends?
I'd like to think that. I think he's got, you know, they got rid of the Firestorm power, so, you know, they've got a little more money to spend. And it would be bringing two characters over for really one.
I mean, do you think they could do an identity crisis on Legends?
At some point. at some point, but you got to make us care about Sue. The whole thing, and you know, spoiler if you haven't read it. By the way, if you haven't read it,
That's a big spoiler. I mean, I know it's a long running comic, but that's one of those ones, you know.
Yeah, but you have to make us care about Sue before you can pull that story off,
huh?
Because I mean, that was the gut shot of that entire story, was what happened to Sue Dibney.
But it's more than that, right? Like, that is a very dark story. Bell, have you read Identity Crisis?
I have not, but it's been recommended to me by so many people that I need to pick it up and read it.
There's a lot of.
I almost have to send it to you for Christmas, brother. I'm not even kidding.
It's a heavy story. It's a heavy story, and there's a lot of very heavy moments throughout. I mean, to me, it would seem almost odd to even try to tackle something like that on Legends, given the tone that's set. Now, obviously, Legends has gotten heavy before. This season saw the death of a beloved character. And in fact, well, I wanted to ask you, how did you feel when it was all said and done, when, you know, Dr. Stein was actually sent to that great firestorm in the sky?
Well, we kind of knew he was leaving. It kind of, and I said this on Legends, it felt like the Henry exit on MASH, like unnecessary, but I get why you did it. You know, they could have easily sent him off with his kid and all of that. But what they did was, you know, they went a different way.
Mm.
So, you know, like the Henry Blake, I don't know how familiar you are, but he's getting shipped out. He's getting sent home. He's at the end of his tour. And at the very tip top end of the episode, it's the very end of season three. They're all in surgery. They've said goodbye to Henry. It's a great, joyous thing. And Radar comes in and he goes, you know, and they yell at him for not having a mask. And he's like, I have to tell you guys something. You know, Henry Blake's plane was shot down over the Sea of Japan. There were no survivors.
Oh, man.
He walks out. Oh, yeah. So it was just kind of like, and life goes on. So I mean, that's kind of what I had with this. I was like, you could have easily sent him home and just had like a joy and leave the door open for him to come back. But we're going to go another way.
That's heavy. You know, the interesting thing is that reference, I actually recognize it, but from Family Guy.
I know, right? It's from Meg.
That's what Bell said.
Yes, you know where our generational mind is right there. That's crazy.
I just hope it continues to resonate. I think by taking Jax off so quickly, it's very possible that they can lose the emotional resonance that this bought them for the rest of the season. Like, by not having Jax there, are we going to have the emotional tie to, quote-unquote, Gray's death?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or are they just going to be like, you know, in a couple weeks, be like, yeah, oh, Martin would have been great here. Pass the syrup. You know, I mean.
All right. So I got to tell you, I while I was blown away by the first bit in this last episode, I stopped watching very specifically because I wanted to rewatch the season from the beginning. Like, so, all right. So for those that are not up to date with Legends, in one of the most recent, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the most recent episode, saw a Furby becoming a Norse god that led to the Norwegians, the Vikings taking over America.
It was more like a Tickle Me Elmo, though.
Regardless, it was amazing is what it was. And just that concept alone, I was like, oh my gosh, Legends is so much, like, I get it now. This one sequence, this one setup explains this entire show to me in a way that I never understood before. Bebo, thank you very much, Karen, in the chat. All right, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. I saw a bit of it, and I saw a young Stein, but also a young Stein that recognized Jax. And I do think I remember from season one, was this the same actor that was like the let's go smoke weed in my office guy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Another thing that happened in that episode was there was Puppet Stein.
Yes.
Are we pro Puppet Stein? Or are we anti Puppet Stein?
Oh, very pro.
Very pro.
Oh, yeah. Because I mean, it's Leo, man. Like, Leo's trying to, like, you know, bring the team together and be a good guy and, like, you know, help out in this time of crisis. And so, you know, Puppet Stein.
All right, I want to talk to you guys about Leo as well. So, is Leo Citizen Cold, or is he Captain Cold, or is he just Leo?
He's just Leo.
Ah, that's disappointing.
I mean, I like him though. I mean, it's not our snart, but it's close, and you know. I still think they're going to go that Mick and him were raging lovers before Mick died, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. That's why he was so like all weird on the ship, is because he finally, like, you know, he's bumped into this alternate version of Mick and he just doesn't know how to process it emotionally.
Not sure how Ray would feel about that. Like, yeah, go to another Earth with the doppelganger of your, you know, ex-boyfriend.
Well, maybe he didn't know.
Yeah, maybe he didn't know. I don't know the names of all of my girlfriend's ex-boyfriends.
All right, fair enough. One way or the other. So let me ask you this. The gif that we constantly see of Captain Cold sipping the cocoa with
right.
the chipmunk mug, what season does that happen in?
Wait, sipping the cocoa? I'm trying to remember.
You don't know what I'm talking about? I'm assuming it's cocoa in the mug.
Has to be one.
Yeah, it has to be one because he wasn't in season two.
I don't remember that. All right, I'll have to go back and rewatch that then. Okay, fair enough. There's this gif that I constantly see of Captain Cold sitting in a chair and drinking out of a chipmunk mug, which I just assume is cocoa based off the like goofy grin on his face.
I think you're right, yeah, but I don't remember exactly which episode that's from.
Gosh, I'm gonna have to rewatch this entire series from the beginning. All right, that's fine. You know what? If we're going to Furby Viking God, I'm down. I will watch the entire. That is the carrot I needed.
And how long have I told you about how great this show is?
It took Furby Viking God. I want to be very clear about that.
But like, there's so many great episodes this season. There's an ET episode. There's like, you know, Back to the Future.
They're all Back to the Future. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I was about to say, like, they're all kind of Back to the Future, but yeah, there's so many, like, all the episodes are themed and just fun and ridiculous, and yeah, I don't know. I have a blast with this show.
All right. Fair enough. Will, any final thoughts, anything you wanted to share before we let you go tonight?
I thought it was great and wonderful, and I thought it was better than Cats. I'm going to see it again and again.
All right, man. Well, always always great to talk with you, and hopefully once I'm more caught up, maybe I can pop over on y'all's show and not bash it for a change. How about that?
You're welcome anytime. You're welcome anytime we're on hiatus. All right.
Well, and likewise to you, sir. Have a good one.
All right, brother. Take care.
See you, Will.
All right. See if I can do this without losing Bell. All right, we got another caller in. Oh man, what is this? This is like old home week. We got Robin on the line.
old folks home week. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. I think we lost Belle again. So everybody, take a drink. Robin, man, it is so good to talk to you. Now, if folks that don't know, Robin is the latest member in the TV Talk family. Interestingly enough, his podcast, though, does not have TV Talk in the name yet. They talk TV over there. Robin, of course, from the iZombie podcast.
Yeah, it's the iZombie podcast with Robin and Steph. And then if I added a TV Talk at the end of that, I don't even know.
it gets all over the place. No, it's all right, man. You know, the funny thing is iZombie, you know, it is a DC TV property, but it is kind of on the outskirts a little bit. But we'll talk about that in just a second. Crossover, yeah. Man, I know that you are like a TV watching fiend. I see you on Twitter. did you tune in for the crossover episode?
You know, it was really hard to like hold back, but Monday night I got busy with other things. I was like, I'm just gonna do something else. And then Tuesday I sat down and watched all 4 hours in a row. It was amazing.
Yeah, man. Look, there is a cinematic feel to it, to be sure, especially when you've got so many episodes. This, you know, we talked about it last year on the big DC TV crossover, but like this really was for me exactly what I wanted. This was a continued story throughout all the different series. For you, man, what was kind of the big standout moments?
Oh, gosh, the standout moments. I mean, the church scene was pretty awesome. I should mention first the opening montage that they started that off. Yeah. I was like, holy cow, they're really going to make this a lot of fun. You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I was really excited about it.
Even just the, you know, when you get Supergirl and you're on her Earth and then all of a sudden she's fighting a Dominator. She's like, oh, Dominators are so last year.
Last year. Yeah.
It's a great moment. So, of course, you know, this was a really big, I mean, in many respects, it's several years in the making, bringing in so many different DC TV properties that are part of the multiverse. Now, before you talk a little bit about your corner of the multiverse, how did you get into I guess, DC TV? Was it through Arrow or was it before?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm an old school Smallville watcher.
Yes,
so.
Sir.
I did a year's tenure on SHU in the final season because Derek couldn't host every week. So me and my buddy Joe did like every other week for that final season.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Of course, SHU being Starkville House of L, the Smallville podcast of the era.
Yep.
And yeah, man, absolutely. I guess, is that also how you kind of got your podcasting feet wet, so to speak?
That was actually one of the first podcasts I listened to. So it was kind of a dream come true when they let me take the reins for a couple episodes. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah, no, I know the feeling. I know the feeling. Starkville House of L was also one of my first ones as well. But like me, man, you graduated, you got your own podcast, you're doing things over at iZombie. And I'll be honest, man, I have not checked out iZombie yet. I've had a lot of excuses to do so. Chad Rook, friend of the show, I know was a guest over on that one, played kind of a character for some time. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of interesting things going on. I always see that there is like a not necessarily a freak of the week, but maybe a situation of the week going on over there. What is iZombie? Give kind of a quick pitch of why people should tune into that show.
Well, first off, I mean, what sold me on it, what made me go, oh, I'm starting a podcast, before I even watching an episode, I heard it was a Rob Thomas show, and no, not the Matchbox 20 Rob Thomas, the guy that created Veronica Mars, and then I heard that David Anders was going to be possibly a villain on the show. And, you know, I love David Anders from his Alias days. And he's been on several shows ever since, like Vampire Diaries and Once Upon a Time. So I was really excited about checking that out. And then I read the comic, and we did some episodes before even the show premiered about the comics. And I was so, of course, the show really isn't much like the comics. Basically, the show is, she gets a brain and eats it of a murder victim. and basically she gets the personality and some, you know, sporadic memories of the murder victim. And then she's able to help the police solve the murder.
Gotcha. So does she get the memories of said person as well?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, she can't like control what memories. So she'll like see something and it'll remind her of something that murder victim saw.
Man.
And some, you know, that gives you a clue.
Well, that is just straight up gross. But it does sound like definitely a formula for a lot of hijinks and fun. Now, of course, if somebody is watching iZombie, why should they tune into the iZombie podcast?
Well, first off, we've been doing it since the beginning, since like their San Diego Comic-Con appearance to pretty much announce that this show is coming. We've been podcasting. We podcasted like 7 months before it even premiered. Like I said, doing the comics, doing all the pre-show hype. And then once we started talking about it and doing weekly episodes, you know, they took notice. They were really appreciative of people watching their show and talking about it. So straight off the bat, I got one of the stars of the show on my podcast, Raul Coley, in my seventh episode. And he hung out and talked about the show. And ever since then, it's been fun. I've gotten other people from the show, writers, producers, you know, so that's kind of fun. And then there's, you know, I mean, I have I think I'm kind of fun to listen to talk. It doesn't sound like I'm a really good talker now, but
no, man, this is live. That's the thing, right? Like we, you know, over Flash TV Talk, we do it live. And typically we edit it to make ourselves sound way better than this. But, you know what? We got the Grandma Esther's eggnog flowing tonight. So who knows what the final product's going to be, but yeah, iZombie podcast, be sure to check them out. Of course, a member of the DC TV Talk family, direct links available at dctvtalk.com. Robin, man, any kind of predictions? I, you know, since this being Flash TV Talk, going into this latter half of the season, any thoughts or predictions?
Yeah, I'm intrigued about this thinker. I'm glad it's not another speedster, but it is kind of weird. He's just this guy that seems to know a lot, and he's got this whole secret life with his little wife. And I was intrigued, you know, especially when we got, you know, the Flash and the Thinker meeting for the first time and the Flash being, you know, onto it. It's a lot more fun this season, I can tell you that.
That's the thing, man. That really has been the theme of the season overall, is really about fun. This has been kind of, you know, it has been that kind of peppy, upbeat. We've gotten a lot more jokes. There's been some comedic dynamics between all the characters. Some I think have really worked well. Some have kind of fallen flat, and just in my opinion. But for the most part, like, it really, it's becoming probably my second favorite season after the first.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Cisco usually drives me crazy, but he's not been driving me crazy in a while now. So,
Well, I got to ask you, I mean, like, you know, do you think there's ever a possibility that a breach that Cisco may breach on over to the world, the Earth of iZombie?
There's no possible way. This shows are, I don't know. They both have fun tones, but it would just be really weird. Of course, you know, we've had the Legends of Tomorrow team talking with Arrow characters. So exactly. That seems really weird, but it works.
Yeah, look, man, go back to season one Arrow and then just tell yourself, oh yeah, he'll be like flying around through time travel and space. Yeah. It's gonna be ridiculous. Like their 100th, think about this. Last year during the crossover, Arrow's 100th anniversary episode took place in a Matrixy-esque alien like mind game. Like mm-hmm. Imagine
that was really strange.
Absolutely incredible. But anyway, all right, man. Well, let me ask you this one other thing while I got you here before I let you go. Because something that I've been thinking about a lot is this show Riverdale.
Rivendell. Is that like a missed?
Yeah, that was a missed sequel. Yes. Oh, it was a great one, too. But no, I have not been thinking about that sequel. However, now I am going to be thinking about that. Now, I'm talking about this this Archie Comics thing, man. Have you watched this at all?
Oh, I've really gotten into it. I actually caught up with it when it hit Netflix and I was intrigued. You know, I'm an old school Twin Peaks fan, so it seemed very Twin Peaksy. It's got actually one of the characters of Twin Peaks plays Betty's mom, one of the actresses rather. I don't know. I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch this. You know, all I've heard is Hot Archie, but it's a lot of fun.
Are you caught up on this thing?
Yeah.
All right. So I don't want to spoil anything, but if you've been following the news, then there's apparently going to be a spinoff series about Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which I'm a kid from the 90s. I never realized Sabrina the Teenage Witch was part of the Archie Comics thing. Mm-hmm. Did they introduce that character on Riverdale?
Not yet. And actually, I just heard that it's going to be a Netflix show. Yes, so it's going to be kind of weird to even have a crossover.
It's going to be like it's a major shakeup in just kind of the TV shared universe world, man, the way this all plays out. So I'm curious to see what it is. Yeah. But anyway, I ask you because I know that you are like the king of TV. You know, if y'all follow Robin on Twitter, he's got like some sort of app, or maybe he just manually does it, updates everybody. I'm watching this and I'm watching this episode and I'm watching it right now.
I don't know. Yeah, I did it to begin with just to kind of spark conversation, like, oh, I saw that one. That was great. You know, and sometimes I get that. But mostly it's like, yeah, follow me on Twitter just to find out what I'm watching, if that interests you.
Well, throw it out there, man. How can people follow you on Twitter?
Oh, yeah. Follow me at L Robin Nero.
All right, man. Well, hey, a true TV talker, if ever there was one, be sure to check out the iZombie podcast. Robin, thanks so much for calling in, and Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You too.
All right, brother.
Hey, guys, this is Chad Brooke, and you are listening to Flash TV Talk.
All by myself.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. You doing okay?
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
I didn't realize you were there. Yeah. I thought I was all alone again.
The airing of grievances has already come and gone. So, you know, however you feel, I just want you to bottle it up, remember it for next year, and we'll Festivus it up. Man, this has been awesome, man. Everyone who's been able to call in. We got one last one here at the end here. Hang on, let's see if I can get her in. After this call, we'll put your active call on hold. All right, Belle, you're going to be lost again. Oh,
hi.
Hey, we lost Belle, but that just seems to be the theme of the evening. How are you doing tonight, Karen?
Pretty much. Not too bad.
Are you enjoying a little bit of the nog?
At the moment, I'm in a clubhouse.
Oh, in a what? In a clubhouse?
Yeah, the Wi-Fi in my apartment's kind of really spotty right now.
Nice.
Whoa. So I'm like, relocate.
Nice. No, you have to do it. I remember actually there was an entire summer I was living in Oxford, Mississippi in a apartment that had literally like next to no Wi-Fi. In fact, they would even say it had Wi-Fi was ridiculous. I would go up and hang out on top of a coffee shop after it closed because they left their Wi-Fi on in order to use the internet. So I've been there, but yeah, welcome. Of course. Welcome back to the show. Karen, how are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Aww. Oh.
Oh,
you wanted to talk to me.
No worries. Well, hey, for this first half of the season, what have you thought so far?
love it. Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is a bit of a gear shift without having a speedster villain, but Thinker and not the engineer, but the mechanic. How are you feeling about Thinker and the mechanic?
I really actually like it. I got kind of tired of, you know, speedster villain, speedster villain, speedster villain.
And I'm kind of curious, though. Do you think that after this season, are you going to be ready for another speedster?
Well, that depends on the speedster, really. Thing is, they can bring in inertia if they bring in impulse.
But what's your thoughts process? Why do you think that we'd get do you think we'd get inertia with impulse, or do you think we'd get inertia before impulse?
It would be with impulse, because he is Bart's actual clone.
Okay, so that's interesting. So you think they might actually go that route with the story? Do you think, now there's been a lot of debate going on as to whether or not we'll get impulse before the Tornado Twins, though. Will we get the grandson before the parents?
I think we got the granddaughter.
Yes. Already. Okay. All right. So you're on our train of thought here as well, right?
Yeah. I really think it's actually Jenny and not Dawn.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Jenny is actually Dawn's daughter.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah. are you saying they're squashing the family a little bit, or do you think that she actually is the Barry's grandchild as opposed to his daughter?
I think she's actually Barry's granddaughter.
Interesting.
From the future, because she tends to get lost in space or lost in time. And even in the comics, she's been lost in the present time before.
Interesting. No, I could see that happening. Now, of course, this show has been known to merge different characters in the past. You know, they've also tied the Flash family even closer together. You know, instead of Wally being his nephew, it's actually his adopted brother. Instead of Jay being just some guy from another Earth, it's actually the doppelganger of his biological father. So there's a lot of ways they've played with the Flash family tree.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible. They could actually combine Jenny and Dawn if they wanted to.
It's definitely possible. They really have put together a lot of characters. Like, even Barry himself is kind of a Wally Barry and even a little Bart.
Yeah, no, definitely. And actually, his character, you know, I think about, like, comparing the Barry Allen of TV to the Barry Allen of the big screen, and you know, the idea that if you actually stack either of these two guys and compare them to the comic book, you know, straight up comic book Barry Allen, there's not a whole lot of similarities between the two characterizations. No. I mean, you could pull some out, but they are very different and unique characters.
Oh, if they're really unique characters. I mean, it is a multiverse too, but a lot of people today with Flash, they're used to, like, in my generation and your generation, I think, they're used to the Justice League animated Flash, which is, you know, kind of a jokester. He's much lighter.
Wally West, yeah, and, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Barry isn't really like that in the comics.
Yeah, you know, actually, the Justice League Unlimited take of the character, it's interesting because that show followed, of course, you know, the Batman, the animated series, and the, what was the Superman one? Was it Superman, the animated series? Or was it The Adventures of Superman?
Superman, I think.
So in Adventures of Superman, when they introduced the first Green Lantern on that show, the Green Lantern, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Karen, but I think the Green Lantern in the comics at that time was Kyle, but they wanted to tell Hal Jordan. So what they ended up doing is kind of combining the characters into one so that he was Kyle, but kind of looked like Hal. Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that that's one of the things that during that era, they were trying to pay homage to the characters that have come before, but were very cognizant of, you know, younger viewers like us that were kind of being introduced to these characters for the first time. And so you're right. Kind of seeing that continuation of the fact that we, many of us are kind of coming to this with our pre exposure to the characters through that animated series. It is interesting. And even though that was Wally West, they didn't really call him Wally until, like, the big grand finale of, like, the first era of that show.
Was it
Starcross? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Ah,
Starcross.
Loved that one. And, you know, Wally's all like, well, you know, I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah, he's like, I trust you guys, but I'm not really ready to. And then, you know, Bruce is just like, Wally West, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne.
I know he's got it all figured out. And then later on in an Unlimited, when what was it? Oh, Lex Luthor takes control of his body and pulls off the mask.
Oh. the Great Brain Robbery. Oh, I
yes.
Love
that. Oh, that was the best. Yeah, it's just I have no idea who this is.
I have
is.
No idea who this is.
Ah, it's a great one. Yeah, look, the Justice League Unlimited, you know, that the benefit of that show was really kind of the whole Bruce Timm era had built up to what they could do on that series. And, you know, in many respects, I feel like DC TV is benefiting in a similar way because they've laid all the groundwork with Flash and Arrow and Legends and Supergirl. This crossover this year, what did you think about Crisis on Earth X?
That was so much fun. Oh, my goodness.
Took it to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm like, what are they going to do next?
Well, so that's the thing.
How can they top that?
They used Crisis in the name this year. But do you think that might be a continue? Like, could we see a different Crisis next year?
A little bit.
I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. I was thinking about it. The only thing I could think of that might top this year is if they were to bring in like the Trinity or like a Trinity of sorts. Well, I mean, like one of the benefits of this multiverse is that without a Batman, Superman and Wonder Woman, it has allowed these other characters to really, you know, fulfill those roles with Flash, Arrow and Supergirl. And so, you know, I would not necessarily want those characters to come in any kind of permanent way, but I do like the idea of pulling in, like, you know, Tom Welling's Clark Kent as a Superman for a big, like, multiverse crisis type of experience. And you could even do some fun things with Wonder Woman. There was the canceled series, or they could actually, you know, if Gal Gadot wanted to pull in a TV cameo and just, like, completely break the airwaves, that would be amazing.
Well, the thing with that is that this is my personal belief, though. With Flash, with Arrow, with Legends, all of the other heroes finally have their chance to get out from the big three shadow. And when Superman was on Supergirl, it suddenly became all about Superman, and Supergirl is suddenly just in the background. And I'm like, what happened? No. Because there are so many, there's so many movies, there's so many shows, there's so many more heroes they can use than the big three.
Oh, that's true. And actually, you know, one of the, I hate to say this, but something of, you know, the failure or pseudo failure that the Snyderverse has been in the movies, I think has kind of yielded a good opportunity for DC to kind of put their top tier heroes to the side and maybe do some mining and, you know, maybe let's spend some time. Let's build up a Blue Beetle franchise. Let's build up a Flash franchise. Let's build up, maybe Zatanna, Justice League Dark. Yeah.
Look at what they're finally bringing out, Shazam.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right, well, if that's even, is that still going forward though?
I hope so.
Yeah. You know, there's so much has been up there.
I do like Billy. He's cool.
We'll see what ends up happening. You know, it's been a great year for film. We are just a couple days away from this upcoming Star Wars film. You know, I said at the top of the show, no Star Wars spoilers, but you looking forward to episode 8?
I definitely am. I'm on Sunday. My family and I actually we're going to a kind of a private screening.
Oh, what? Karen, you got the hookup?
Yeah.
Okay. How'd you get that?
Oh, yeah. My stepmom is like the best stepmom for a geek.
All right. Well, if she ever wants to hook us up with some private screening type tickets or anything like that, you know, just let us know. That'll be fun.
You got to get up to Denver then, man.
I've never actually, no, wait, I have been to Denver once. I went skiing. It was cold. that was my Denver experience, but yeah, next time for sure. Well, yeah, I know we're stoked for that as well. I've got, my ticket on Friday bought, And I plan on from Thursday at noon to Friday at noon just being completely just disappearing from the internet altogether. So one way or the other, we'll have this episode out before then. Any final thoughts or anything before I let you go tonight?
You know what? I want Mark Hamill's Trickster back.
Yes!
I want a Trickster episode.
All right, so do you think if we get him back, do you also want kind of Trickster Jr. to come along with him?
Maybe. I don't know.
He really handles it well by himself. Like the crossover episode after that one where, you know, Junior was just kind of MIA, I thought it was great. Oh, yeah. He holds his own.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, between, you know, James and Axel, I would still rather have James because it's Barry and not Wally.
Right, that's right. Well, and you know, with Mark Hamill, you know, obviously episode 8's coming out. Maybe he's got some free time on his hands before the next one, or who knows what's going to happen in this one. I don't know. I don't want to speculate. We'll just say that one way or the other, ideally, Mark Hamill's going to have some free time. So they'll pull him back in. He loves doing that. That's the thing. You could tell he really loves that character.
Oh, definitely.
Sweet. Well, Karen, thanks so much for calling in, and happy holidays to you. And enjoy the nog at the clubhouse.
Oh, yes. The dog at the clubhouse.
All right. See you, Karen. Thanks so much.
Happy holidays. Bye.
All right. Let's see. I don't know why I couldn't get Belle in that one. Maybe it's like Beetlejuice. If I just say Belle three times. Belle, Belle, Belle.
It's Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
You said Belle three times.
Well, hey man, I'm sorry. I tried to call you back in for like this has just been the theme of the evening. And honestly, it would not be a call-in show without us constantly losing you throughout the night and everybody getting a chance to drink at every turn. So, one way or the other, man, glad to have you here back on. As we kind of close things out, this has been such a wonderful Grandma Esther's eggnog induced Christmas call-in extravaganza. I think putting part four in the books, man, I'm proud to do it.
Yeah, man, it's always a pleasure. Even though I get disconnected and spend most of the show alone.
You're not even listening?
No, I listen, but like, you know, I sit there and I catch myself responding to stuff and everybody's ignoring me. And I'm like, why aren't they like paying it? Oh, wait, I'm not on the call.
Yeah. We'll get it all figured out for the end of the year. You know, for those of you who have never listened to Flash TV Talk, this is your first episode. And for some reason you stayed all the way to the end. First of all, welcome. If you enjoyed that, you're going to love the rest of it. And also, you know, we want to let you know that, we are about to go on hiatus here with the series, the mid-season hiatus. And so during that time, we want to keep up with you, know what's going on. So be sure to check out our social channels. You can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, Flash TV Talk in both regards. You can follow Bell at Ring That Bell. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York. We do another podcast called Panel to Screen, where we will have a spoilerific review coming out very soon about the upcoming Star Wars series. Star Wars television, television.
The new movie,
the noggin movie, the bottle of eggnog and bourbon. I think I just switched to straight up bourbon at this point. It happens, man. It happens. But yes, no, of course, episode 8, we will be reviewing that for Panel to Screen here very soon. And looking forward to bring that to you over there. And so, yes, you've got several ways to keep up with us that we encourage you to do. Might be playing a little Injustice here and there. Injustice 2.
Yeah.
Electric Boogaloo with Adam.
Star Wars Battlefront.
Star Wars Battle. No, not that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Check out some shenanigans backlog. If you've not done so already, consider supporting the show through Patreon. You get access to some additional goodies, including some shenanigans episodes where you've got things like an entire rant on Battlefront 2. But man, it has been a wonderful night. It has been definitely one for the history books. We have drinking plenty of the old eggnog. We have talked to wonderful friends and families from across the airwaves. We've been able to geek out. Belle has unfortunately been just staring at the chat.
Yeah.
But man, hopefully you felt the love though, right?
Oh, of course. I always do.
Okay.
Either that or it was the nog. I don't know. It's one
and that's the thing, man. When it all comes down to it, it all comes to the nog. And here it is, man. What better way to play us out this year than with noggin on Grandma Esther's door.
Take this drink from me, 'cause I can't drink it anymore. It's got too much bourbon for me. Feels like I'm knocking on Grandma Esther's door. Hey, 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 hey. Knock, knock, knocking on Grandma Esther's door. Knock, knock, knocking on Grandma Esther's door. Yeah! Knock, knock, knocking on Grandma Esther's door. Ooh, yeah! Knock, knock, knocking on Grandma Esther's door. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Grandma Esther, pouring some out for you. But not really, because I'm drinking it. Best eggnog in the world! And the most alcoholic grandmother in the world. Love you, Grandma Esther. Merry Christmas. And to all, a good eggnog.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.